Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Dalet, the fourth Perek. If you recall, up until now, Iyov has experienced tremendous suffering, and in response to that suffering, he seems to remain righteous. He spends a week sitting Shiva in silence for his sons and his tragedies. And finally, in the last parak, he bursts forth in agony, in pain, in frustration, and he questions God. And he simply understands that the reason why he is suffering is totally random. It's because of the stars, the sun, the moon. It's because of total mikra. It's not something that comes from God. In other words, in his attempt to believe in God, and to explain his suffering, it must be that God doesn't care about him or doesn't pay attention to what's happening to him. At this point, the first friend of Iyov is about to speak. And as Perek Dalet opens, Eliphaz, his first friend, stands up. Now, when I say the name Eliphaz, we all have a feeling in our minds, which is, oh, we know that name. And we do. As Rashi points out, this Eliphaz is Eliphaz ben Esav. It's the son of Esav. He's going to be the great-grandson of Avraham Avinu, which makes sense on a couple counts. The first one is that we know, as we spoke about previously, that Sefer Iyov is full of Abrahamic imagery and the image of Avraham Avinu and the great-grandchild of Avraham Avinu partaking in this discussion is intuitive if we understand the general theme of Iyov and the general theme being understanding Tzadik Varalo, which comes parallel with belief in God, which is what Avraham represents. It also makes sense because, as Rashi points out, this Eliphaz is a great man. He's a great man, and as a result, he is zoche, he merits to have this shechina rest upon him. He actually has some sort of pseudo-nevuah, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes, and maybe that is a result of being brought up in the arms of Yitzchak, in the home of Yitzchak Avinu. This is a person who's deeply wise. In fact, at the end of Sefer Iyov, right at the end when Hashem speaks, Hashem puts Eliphaz into a different category than all the other friends. He speaks about all of the three friends who visit, but specifically identifies Eliphaz as their leader, maybe because he's speaking first, or maybe because he has some sort of nevuah experience, or maybe because he stands out as being different, as maybe being more spiritually plugged in than the rest of the friends. Eliphaz's approach to Iyov's suffering is incredibly linear. Eliphaz believes that Iyov is suffering because he sinned. And the only reason why people suffer in Olam Hazeh is because they have sinned in Olam Hazeh. And as I pointed out previously, according to the Rambam, according to Maimonides in Mori Nevuchim, Eliphaz's answer is Judaism's answer. Quite a challenging philosophical statement to understand or internalize. But yes, the Mori Nevuchim says, Hashkafas Eliphaz notel Hashkafas Torah Seinu. This is the idea in the Torah that people only suffer when they sin. Now, as I pointed out, the Ramban, Nachmanides, has a far more nuanced, complex understanding of this question of Tzadik Varalo. And as such, his reading of Sefer Iyov is going to come out differently. According to the Ramban, yes, sometimes people suffer because they sin. And Eliphaz is not wrong, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he is entirely right, and that each of the friends bring a different flavor to help us deal with the question of Tzadik Varalo. Let's take a look at the Psukim together. Vaya'an Eliphaz hatemani. Eliphaz answers and he says, Hanisa davar elecha til'eh. Could it be that you experience some sort of nisayon, some sort of suffering, and you're experiencing fatigue, you're exhausted from it? How could that be? And can I sit back and hold back my words given what you're saying? It seems to be that Eliphaz is saying, I know that maybe as a good friend I should be quiet, but I cannot keep silent in your terrible proclamation of ignoring God's involvement in the world. I can't allow myself to hold back words and allow you to speak this way. And he goes on to criticize Iyov in a very, very tremendously sharp way. He says to him, Zacharna mihu naki avad pasuk zayin. Remind me, recall, do you even know of a single person who was naki, who was pure of sin, who was 100% righteous, but avad, and he was lost? In other words, Ein kaze davari doesn't exist. It's absolutely categorically impossible for a human being to receive suffering if he has not sinned. Sin and suffering go hand in hand. Ve'efo yesharim nichadu, and where are the righteous people who've disappeared, who've been destroyed? It's not true. There's always a sense of justice. There is always a reason why people suffer, and it is simply because they sinned. At this point, Eliphaz is going to share a experience that he has, an experience which Chazal tried to explain is some sort of nevuah, some sort of vision which he receives from God. And then Eliphaz is going to interpret that vision. And we're going to ask ourselves what we think of his interpretation. If you look in Pasuk Yud Gimel is when he steps in and he says, B'si'ifim, well, we can start on Yud Bet, he says, Ve'elai davar yugunav. I stole a little smidgen of information, V'tikach oznai shemetz minehu, and I took a little piece of it. In other words, he's trying to say that there was a prophetic experience, but he chapped a little piece of it. And Chazal over here speak about how the reason why he uses the word yugunav, it was stolen, is because Eliphaz is not Jewish. And according to Chazal, the type of nevuah which is experienced by somebody non-Jewish is almost like a stolen gift that was really meant for somebody else. It compares it to like a concubine and the king, right? It's not really the wife. It's the concubine who's taking something kind of almost sneakily, which isn't really theirs. Or maybe the king is giving something sneakily, which he really shouldn't be giving out to anybody but his rightful wife. So too here, Eliphaz is saying, I stole a little bit of prophecy in this moment, but it wasn't really mine to have. Pachad kara'ani ura'ada. I had this tremendous fear and trembling that overcame me. V'rov atzmosai hifchid, and most of my bones were terrified. Now we know from the Rambam that this is how a person experiences nevuah. Nevuah is a terrifying, overwhelming experience where you've visualized something that's beyond you, and it's totally, totally terrifying. And he continues and he says, Pasuk Tes Vav, V'ruach al panai yachalof, a wind passed over my face, V'tesamer sa'arot besari, and my hairs stood on edge. He kind of like got goosebumps, and he's terrified. Ya'amod v'lo akir mar'ehu. There is someone who stood up next to him. And again, he's describing to Eov, I'll tell you why you're suffering. I know the reason why you're suffering because I experienced a prophetic vision explaining to me why you're suffering. And therefore, I know better than anybody else why it is that you're going through what you're going through. Someone came and stood before me. I didn't recognize him. Tmuna leneged einai, this visual up opposite my eyes. Demama v'kol eshma. And I heard this thin, still voice. Right, we know from, for example, the nevuah of Eliyahu. He describes the vision of the experience of a prophetic speech being brought to him as a kol demama daka, and here it's a demama v'kol. Similar concept of this quiet, still experience, and this being who has appeared to Eliphaz in his prophetic state as he's about to fall asleep, turns to Eliphaz and says the following words, Ha'enosh me'elokai yitzdak. Is man more righteous than God? Im ma'asehu yitar gaver. Could it be that a person's actions are so righteous that they're more righteous than God, and that they are better and they're more pure than God himself? He says, that can't be. It absolutely cannot be that man is more righteous than God. Now, Eliphaz is using those words to turn to Eov and say, Eov, that was a message for you. I received a prophecy, and that prophecy told me, Ha'enosh eloka mitzdak, could man be more righteous than God? In other words, we know that human beings, and this is how the Mitzudas David understands it, we know that human beings don't treat everybody equally and just cause havoc to the righteous as well as the wicked in equal measures and in a way that's totally happenstance and meaningless. We know that human beings in their dealings with each other are somewhat rational, are somewhat reasonable, at least we hope. So how could it be says Eliphaz. Hashem is saying, how could it be that you believe that God is just allowing suffering to happen all over the world without any reason, if human beings wouldn't allow suffering to happen without any reason? If human beings are just and moral, then surely God must be even more just and moral than human beings. So Eov, you are wrong. You are wrong to believe that the reason why you're suffering is mikra, it's mazal, it's happenstance, it's based on the astrology of the time. That can't be, because God is not unfair, because God is not less fair than human beings. But the truth is, as we read these words, we ask ourselves who the prophecy was actually meant for. Maybe it was meant for Eov. And maybe Eliphaz received these words and portrayed them to Eov to tell Eov, you are wrong in understanding Tzadik Varalo. But maybe there's a piece of Musar here, and God hints to this at the end of the Sefer, that's for Eliphaz. Eliphaz turns to Eov and says to Eov, you are suffering because you sinned. You are suffering and you deserve it, man. This is something you need to do and you need to go through. And Hashem maybe turns to Eliphaz and says, really? Are you smarter than me? Are you cleverer than me that you can figure out why people suffer? And one of the major important pieces in understanding Tzadik Varalo is understanding our inability to understand it. And maybe this question is not a question for Eov. Maybe it's a question for Eliphaz. Eliphaz, how can you have the audacity and the arrogance to think that you can figure things out, to think that you can make sense of God's world in a way that is almost godly? Man is not smarter than God. Man is not more intelligible and more knowledgeable and more righteous than God. So maybe this is something that's beyond you, Eliphaz. And one of the things which bothers us as we read the entire Sefer Eov is the almost cruelty of the friends. It's all very well to have a philosophical discussion about Tzadik Varalo and discuss why we think that bad things happen and in theory and maybe, but at the end of the day, we have to realize that this is, if whether we see the story as a mashal or a story that actually happened, and we saw that there were both opinions in the Gemara, whether we see it as a fairy tale or a real story that happens, either way, when friends come to support a friend who has experienced suffering, their response cannot be, there is no version of reality in which the response can be, I don't know what to tell you, Eov, you deserve it. Even if we think we can understand, we can never understand. And maybe this message of Ha'enosh me'elokai yitzdak, is man more righteous than God, is purely pointing a finger at Eliphaz and saying, Eliphaz, humble yourself. How about turning to Eov and saying, I don't know. I don't know why you're suffering, but I'm sorry for your pain. But it seems that Eliphaz misses this message, and the entire Sefer, he continues to insist that his worldview, a worldview in which people suffer because they're deserving, is the only worldview that is allowed, that is permitted, and that is true. And so Eliphaz continues to misunderstand the prophecy. And the vision of Eliphaz continues in the next pasuk Yud Chet, and he says, Hein ba'avadav lo ya'amin. God does not believe in or trust or have faith in his servants. Umelachav lo yasim tahala, and he doesn't rebuke or doesn't tell off his messengers. So what does this mean? According to the Tzudas David, the avadav, the servants who God doesn't believe in, are his malachim. In other words, what he's really saying here is, Eov, I know you think that the malachim, the angels, or the mazalos, the astrology, the messengers of God, have autonomy to decide what happens in the world. And that's the reason why you're suffering. Remember, it's the day you were born, etc., etc. But that's not true. God does not give full autonomy to any celestial beings. He is the one who manages everything. Rashi understands it not so much as a criticism of Eov's approach to Tzadik Varalo, but more a criticism of Eov himself. And who are the avadav that Hashem doesn't believe in? According to Rashi, the avadav are the tzaddikim, that Hashem does not believe in the tzaddikim, that they won't sin. In other words, Eov, even if you're so great and so righteous, chances are you sinned, because hein ba'avadav lo ya'amin, Hashem knows that people sin and everybody messes up. And it can't be that you are pure of sin. So either way we understand this pasuk Yud Chet is either a criticism of Eov pre his response to suffering, he must have sinned and that's why he's suffering, or a criticism of Eov because of his response to suffering. How can you say that the Malachim run the world and the astrology runs the world? They don't. Hashem runs the world. Either way, what we're seeing is that ultimately, Eov Eliphaz is firmly placing the blame of everything that's happened on Eov and on Eov alone. Thanks so much for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nach Yomi Chavruta in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael v'Rachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.